Hey everyone, Stephen here, and welcome to episode number 7 of You Are Admirable. In this episode, we're chatting with EJ Porth. EJ owns a lot of titles: communicator, connector, organizer, fundraiser, manager, nonprofit nerd, volunteer, supportive sister, and my personal favorite, badass. This interview covers a lot of her badassness, and it was such a joy to learn more about how incredible EJ really is. Let's jump into it. So you're from the Minneapolis area.
Yep.
And you moved to Bozeman after college, after going to Northwestern.
Yep, moved to Bozeman. My sister struggles with Asperger's. And when she was a college freshman, she was having a really hard time just figuring out how to be in school. And she's an absolutely brilliant, amazing human. But I think when I moved out to Montana, she was in a really hard place and needed someone to kind of, that wasn't our parents, to help her figure out how to do life. And so I moved out to Bozeman. I actually had met a boy in Red Lodge. Yeah. There was a boy. There's always a boy. Damn boys. But the main reason was that my sister kind of just needed a roommate to help her go to MSU. So I lived with her for a couple years and was trying at times, but good. And then stayed here ever since.
Nice.
Yeah. I had a job at the Women's Shelter Haven.
Yeah, okay.
So I was doing fundraising and event planning for them.
Excellent. So you got your degree in sociology.
Sociology.
Because you hate people.
Because I hate people, clearly. I always joke about that. Like, to me, a sociology degree really is about having an intense curiosity about people. Mm. How people interact with each other, how groups of people interact. I just find it fascinating. And so I studied sociology, and I did a lot of anthropology work in that as well. And I focused a lot on gender in my sociology work. So I looked a lot at all sorts of women's studies stuff. And I wrote a thesis on domestic violence organizations. So I looked at domestic violence organizations in urban areas versus rural. Uh-huh. So I studied them in Chicago and I compared them to Red Lodge, Montana, which is pretty different. And, it's fascinating. I found that, if you're interested, the, rural organizations, the one in Red Lodge, is kind of a one-stop shop. They have your crisis line, they have your support group, they have your legal advocacy, your shelter, kind of all wrapped up into one. And a lot of the urban organizations are all split up. So your crisis organization, your crisis line, would be one separate organization. Your legal services would be another separate nonprofit. Shelter would be a separate nonprofit. And what happens when people are in crisis is that they literally fall through the cracks. They cannot physically get from place to place in the city. They're overwhelmed. They have to manage, you know, 5 different business cards of 5 different people and appointments all over the city. And so my findings were that the urban services actually didn't do as good of a job as this tiny little town in Montana. Wow. In terms of serving victims of domestic violence. So it was really cool. That's how I got my job at Haven.
That's incredible. So did you know Haven through your Red Lodge connections? Or?
Yeah, I had actually come to Bozeman and interviewed them about their organization. Okay. And I had also interviewed Red Lodge and worked with them and did some kind of shadowing there. So when I moved to Bozeman, I contacted them and it was a good fit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And now you're full-time at Gallatin Valley Land
Yes.
Trust. You're part-time at Bozeman Youth Initiative.
Yep.
And you volunteer for at least 6 other nonprofits?
I dabble in a lot of different places.
Including the
I can't quit. I can't quit. It's so fun. I love it. Yeah, I keep pretty busy, but I don't know, when you're passionate about something, it doesn't really feel like work and you make the time. You know, it's not like I go to any of those obligations and think to myself, wow, I really wish I wasn't here. And if that ever happened, I think I would stop.
Yeah.
It's a joy. It's like everyone has their hobbies, and my hobby is working with nonprofits and doing good things with really cool people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, one of the main reasons that you're here is because Molly, I interviewed,
Yeah.
And she nominated you at the end of her interview. You as being somebody that she admires.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so kind of her.
She had to say the things that she really admires about you are that you effortlessly contribute in a positive way to everyone around you.
Interesting.
You are passionate about things, mm-hmm. and you act on them. I think that's a big difference, is that you actually go out and do things when mm-hmm. so many people have, to put it her way, like their foot on the brakes or kind of are making excuses why they can't do things, and you're constantly on the gas going balls to the wall.
Yeah.
And her question for you was, what was the first thing that you did that gave you that kind of positive reinforcement, if there was something, or what was it that first kind of got you into this path of helping people and advocacy and activism?
That's so interesting. Put me on the spot. You know, I can identify a couple moments, and I'll tell you, I think, service is something and philanthropy is something that I think a lot of people are raised to engage in. And I certainly was. My family was really engaged in philanthropy as a kid. It was just what you did. Huh. You know, it was just, you give your money away, period. Not all of it, but like this is something that you do. When you have it, you give it. We didn't volunteer a lot as a family, but I volunteered quite a bit in my school. So I was exposed to a lot of need in those situations. And I think I definitely had a pretty clear sense of the fact that I was privileged at all times. I have a mom who is a physician. She's a neurologist, and she saw people die every single day. And for better or for worse, made it very clear that I was very lucky to be alive, be healthy, have a roof over my head, go to private school, have means, XYZ. So I think that coupled with, in high school, a few of my friends and I started a club called Students for Social Justice. So we were very emboldened to think that we were going to like change the world as freshmen. So we started this little club, and I honestly couldn't tell you what we were fighting for. I think one of the big things that was going on at the time was there was, genocide going on in Sudan, and there had been in Rwanda. And, we were writing letters as like freshmen in high school to our congresspeople without fully understanding like what their job was, but just knowing that like, you know, one teacher told us at one point that if we wrote a letter, we could change the world. So I think I had this sense of privilege and this feeling that I had the tools that it took to say something. And from there on, it seems like I kind of just always found ways to give, and I enjoyed it. I love people. And one of the great things about helping people is that you get to meet people.
Yeah.
So they kind of go hand in hand. So I'd say that's probably it. Yeah.
So with all the things that you do and dabble with here, you're a busy person.
I am. Yeah. But I like how Molly said it's effortless, because that's truly how I feel. Like when I put in the time, I don't feel like I'm over. There are times when I feel overextended, but for the most part, I'm like, this is just what you do. This is when I'm presented with a problem or there's something I care about, it would be so much harder for me to not act on it because I feel like I can't solve all the problems. I can't give away all the money. But I can help in some way. And that's a pretty easy thing for me to do. I don't know.
That's incredible. So it's more of a mindset thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a mindset. And sometimes I get frustrated because I work on boards or I work with people who are like, I just don't have time. I'm so busy. And I respect that because I'm at a point now where I've had to say no to some things, but I'm like, especially people my age that don't have kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Are you though? I mean, I'm not trying to get on them about it, but I think it is a mindset. Like they do have the time, and it would all be about priorities. So yes, you have the time, but maybe they don't prioritize this over something else that they do, which might be really important to them. So I think it really is, it's a mindset. It's not about time. It's not about your skills. It's about making it a priority and having it be something that's really important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say.
That's incredible. One of the other things that I read about you in one of your bios is that you wake up every morning with a sense of purpose and satisfaction, which I think, if you could put in one word what everybody's searching for, like, that might be it.
Yeah.
Has that always been the case? Is that the case still?
Yeah, I think that's what happens when you work with nonprofit. It's bigger than you. It's not about a paycheck. And yeah, it's about a paycheck. I need a paycheck, but you're attached to something a little bit greater, and you're making some sacrifices. You know, I could go make a lot more money if I lived somewhere else and I did something different, but I choose not to. And that reminder of, like, I'm doing this for a reason. I carry that with me. I really do. So yeah, a sense of purpose and satisfaction. When I went and worked for a company in town briefly, I worked with the most incredible people. I loved them. I did not care about the work kind of at all. And I quickly realized when I got that job that there's something about working for a cause that gives me something that I can't really put into words, that you can't monetize, but that I really obviously needed in order to feel good about getting up every day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were days when I went to that job and I was just so bored and I hated being there. And even though I had a great office and I had made money and I had great bosses and good coworkers, the work itself didn't speak to me.
Yeah.
And so I think I learned that lesson pretty quick, that I need to be helping people or helping connect people to do things for their community in order for myself to be happy.
Would you say that was the point in time where you realized that this was kind of your life's direction and purpose?
Yeah, and it was kind of sad because I'm like, I'm never going to be rich. You know, I mean, there's a moment where you're like, okay, I guess I'm just going to do nonprofit forever, which I could go left and I could do something totally random, but I would imagine that for the rest of my life, I will be pretty engaged with community causes as my profession.
Well, of course, I would say that you are rich. You're rich in friends and
like
community
that.
and purpose and meaning. I definitely feel that if you're waking up every morning with a sense of purpose and satisfaction, like, that is the richest that I ever want to be.
I like to hear that because I often, okay, social media is a wonderful and a terrible thing.
Yep.
As a young professional, I look on social media, I scroll through Facebook, all my friends that graduated from Northwestern with me and or went to high school with me, and they're making the big bucks, traveling the world. There are moments when I feel like, I don't know, the rat race just kind of, like I'm not good enough or I'm not doing enough. Nonprofit gets kind of devalued in our society because we're such a profit-driven society that the word nonprofit, it's like, oh, you're a nonprofit. You're just a bleeding heart. And I'm like, I feel like I'm more than that. Like, I have things to offer, and there are times when I get a little, I mean, maybe jealous of, like, when people are part of that world and they get to do all the things, there's a part of it that I'm like, oh, I could be, what am I sacrificing by working a nonprofit? But I'm also gaining this sense of purpose. It's just hard to, like, you can't monetize that. And so those moments are very far and few between, I would say. And I feel like I'm working for a nonprofit where I get to use the skills that I have, and I'm valued. And I think our community values nonprofit too, for the most part.
Yeah, I think we do. GVLT is all about Montana and trails and keeping this place. I've read some really good articles that you've written as a guest writer in the Chronicle, and I don't think I saw any on Bozeman Magazine, but I saw that you were.
Yep, I think I've written a couple for Bozeman Magazine.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what, where, how is it that you, being a Minneapolis native, mm-hmm. going to school in Chicago, come out here, and now your love of Montana has really kind of taken over your life? Is it just,
that
I'd like to hear more about that.
Great question. So I was leaving my old job at the company. I told you I didn't have a passion place for, and I was looking for a position, and this one came up, and my friend Bridget Wilkinson, who you know, was like, "Hey, there's this job at the Gallatin Valley Land Trust." And I looked at it and I was like, I don't care about the environment. I don't care about conservation. This is just totally not what I'm not passionate about this. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "No, I think you are. Let me just backtrack a little bit." So when she gave me the spiel on behalf of GVLT, she talked about GVLT's role as a community connector, that the land and the trails are not just land and trails. They are a way for people to connect. And so when she phrased it like that, being the sociology major and the people lover, I was like, wait a second. This totally is my jam. People are my jam. And if the land is people for lots of different reasons, open space, farmers and ranchers, the people that live in Montana and choose to be here have a real connection to the land. They're making a choice to live in Montana because they love the open spaces, they love the landscape, they love the wildlife, they love the rivers, and that's what we do. So by protecting the land and protecting a place that means a lot to a lot of people, yeah. And it turns out I actually do care about the environment. Because it's important for people, right? So I'm not an anti-environmentalist, but I'm not your traditional environmentalist or right. conservationist. Yeah. And then trails are, you know, we always say by building trails, we build community. And I see that now. It's not just a path of dirt going somewhere. It's a place where somebody finds quiet and solitude. Mm-hmm. It's a place where somebody is healthy and runs and is active and cares for their soul and their body. It's a place where people see their neighbors and smile or like play with their dogs and have happiness. It's how kids get to school. It's how people get to work. And it's so much more than just the earth, the land.
Yeah.
It is all of the people and relationships that revolve around the trails and open space that we protect.
Nice. Yeah. I saw that you were working with the hospitals to to prescribe more trails and hiking. Yes. That's really cool.
Yeah. We're hoping that doctors will, and some of them are already, prescribing trail walks to their patients, asking them to do, you know, 3 loops a day for 5 weeks. And there are lots of health benefits to just walking. And there's lots of benefits to being outside. Walking outside is one of the best things you can do for your body and for your mind.
Yeah.
So we've got counselors that are prescribing that, physical therapists and family practice doctors.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
With everything that you do, with your volunteer work, with hiking, whatever it is, what's your favorite?
Like my favorite...
What's your favorite thing to do? What's something that you either look forward to with nothing but anticipation, or maybe what's your favorite thing that you've done, something that you look back on with nothing but fondness?
I really love to read. I don't have a lot of time to do it, but I really love it. And the like childhood in me, the child in me would be like, "What? You like to read?" But I'll take a book over a TV show any day of the week.
Nice. Yeah.
I just, there's something about, being by myself. I'm a really social person, but I kind of get exhausted by the end of the day with all the energy that I put into all the things that I do. And there's something about going home, getting in my bed, and pulling out a book that is just so awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you read?
I read, I'm bad. I read a lot of things that are probably pretty similar to each other. I read purely fiction. I like fiction with female main characters. Mm-hmm. I like fiction that is based in this century. I don't like a lot of old historical stuff. But I will tell you, so when I pick books for myself, they tend to be really similar. But when someone gives me a book as a gift, or I'm asked to read something by someone else, I typically love it. It's just not something that I would have chosen.
Right.
So I've learned that I need to probably get out of my box a little bit when it comes to reading, because there's so much more out there.
Nice.
Yeah.
What accomplishment would you say are you most proud of?
That's such a hard question. I got my sister through a lot of really hard times, and from the darkest depths of, things that were happening. I think, I don't want to take credit for it because she did a lot of the work herself, but I'm really proud of myself for sticking by her and helping her start a new chapter in her life and become a more confident and empowered young lady. I don't know. I mean, she's pretty awesome now.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, she always was, but I'm just proud of that.
Is she still in Bozeman?
She's in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Who would you say, other than your parents, has been the biggest influence in your life?
I want to say my sister, because she's literally had to fight a harder battle than anybody else in every way possible. People with Asperger's are very smart, but they have a lot of social challenges. And so every situation has been just so, she's had to like think her way through it all. Whereas other people just so naturally get how to interact with people, it freaks her out. And so the fact that she's been fighting that battle for her whole life and she's so exhausted yet she doesn't give up is pretty incredible. And every time I think I've got it, I'm like, oh, no way, not even close. Girlfriend fights that battle every day on the front lines in every conversation. So I think she's probably the one that's taught me to just not give up, which sounds super cliche, but there's that quote that's like, smile because everyone you see is fighting a harder battle.
Yeah.
I think she's a good example of that. Nice. Everybody has a story and we have no idea what is behind everything that they're dealing with. So just to be kind to them.
Yeah.
And never give up.
I love that quote.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's a good one.
What's something about you that not many people know?
Oh. I have so many secrets. No, I'm kidding. I don't have so many secrets. I'm just trying to think. Let's see. I was the Buffalo mascot for Buffalo Restoration. Oh, so I was a mascot.
Nice.
I played flute like my whole life, and I was in a flute choir. And I competed in like flute competitions in high school. This is so nerdy. There's so many more probably, but
keep going. I can't stop.
I took harmonica lessons in college. Oh goodness. I got voted best personality and biggest hippie in high school.
Wow.
I told them to only print best personality because,
why do you think they gave you biggest hippie?
Well, I was like students for social justice, and I was just, I've always been kind of a raging liberal, so.
Yeah.
Hemp necklaces, tie-dye shirts, the whole deal, so. I can see why that happened, but I don't claim that one very often. Oh gosh, what else? There's probably other things out there.
I'm sure. Yeah, you don't want everybody to know everything.
No, totally. I have some mystery, right? I mean, yeah.
What is your most admirable trait, and what is your least admirable trait or characteristic?
Most admirable trait. I think I can find the good in just about anybody. And sometimes it's harder than other times, but I feel like there's something that I can find that is great in everyone. My least admirable trait, that's challenging, 'cause I have so many. Honestly, like, I mean, I think about the things that I'm like actively trying to work on in my life, and one of them is probably that I'm currently working on. Even though I can find good in people, sometimes it's hard for me to see things from other people's point of view, especially with politics. I sometimes have a hard time, or I have in the past have a hard time understanding and listening to people that disagree with me, yeah. Especially on issues that I care really, really deeply about. It's really hard for me to consider their point of view.
Yeah. And how are you working on that?
I am, it's hard. I am finding people who believe different things from me, mm-hmm. and asking them to tell me why they believe what they believe. And I'm just trying to listen. So I put a post on Facebook that was like, if you disagree with me politically, please message me. I really need to practice listening.
Nice.
And I'd really like to hear your point of view. And I had a guy from high school that I haven't talked to in 10 years, probably 12 years. And he just out of the blue was like, hey, I think we're different. If it would be helpful for you, I'd be happy to tell you about some of the reasons that I believe what I believe. And I was like, shoot, just tell me. We picked a couple topics that I find are like really, really important to me that we differed on. And, he gave me his reasoning and his experiences, and I didn't like try to persuade him or convince him or come back with all these rebuttals. It was just totally a conversation to seek to understand instead of, with any kind of other agenda. It was
nice.
Hard, but really good.
Well done. Good.
Thanks.
For you. My gosh.
I'm trying. It's way harder than it sounds. And it's really hard to find people who are willing to engage in that conversation with me.
Yeah, you're right. It's a very difficult thing to work on. Mm-hmm. Wow. Kudos to you. I think a lot of people talk about working on that sort of thing, but don't really do anything about it. Or they wish that they were better at things, but that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I am doing the Leadership Montana program right now. Mm-hmm. Which is an incredible experience. And I'm traveling the state with lots of people who are different from me and going to communities and learning about what they're dealing with, what challenges they have. But also just talking about issues around the table with people who, like I said, are from completely different parts of the country or part of the state. They have completely different backgrounds. Yeah. And we all come together under this kind of common shared value. And so I have a good place to practice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wanted to ask you if you knew how you have become someone with such great willpower.
Hmm. Willpower. Hmm. Oh, gosh, that's hard. I really like seeing things happen. I think you get willpower from like getting little wins, like having little victories and putting your effort into something and then seeing it work. You're like, oh, I have power. I can make things happen. And sometimes I fear that people feel like they can't make change. And so they don't, because they don't have the confidence to know that their input or their time or their ideas would move the needle. And not that I'm moving large needles by any means, but I feel like in small ways, I've seen results, and I'm no one special, but I put in the time because I care, and then things work. And I think also connecting with other people who also believe the same thing, want to get things done. I mean, I can pretty quickly identify the people in my life who are kind of side by side with me on all of this and do the work and put in the time and want to give back. And I surround myself with people like that. You know, I don't have time for people who, don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It sounds bad, but like, there's not a lot of room in my life for that, because what's the point? You know, like, whether it's the arts or whether it's kids or your church or your family, like, there's gotta be something that drives you. Yeah. And I would like to think that the people that I've surrounded myself with and the people that are lifting me up and pushing me forward are the ones that have that. And they're just constantly reminding me about or connecting me with what they're doing, or I'm connecting them, and we're kind of just keep this thing going. And I feel like this, I surround myself with some pretty, mainly women, like just badass women, badass women who will just move mountains. So I think when you see, when you have wins on your own and you see just incredible women doing really incredible things together, it's kind of hard to not think you could do a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish that more people had that, like I said, confidence to feel like they could do something. And I think a lot of it's that they don't have maybe mentors or people in their lives that are kind of stoking that in them. And I wish that they had it. It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's life's an effort, not a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids that I work with through Bozeman Youth Initiative, a lot of them have been young women, and I've stayed in touch with a lot of them. And I think, especially for people their age, they just need someone to be like, you're rad. You can totally change the world. And not enough young people hear that from someone that's not their parents.
Yeah.
So if I could give one piece of advice, it would be to anyone who, either wants the drive or wants to like share the drive, is to just do the mentor thing. 'Cause I think that's a great way to move forward.
Nice.
Yeah.
So like cat mentoring,
cat mentoring. Absolutely. Big Brother, Big Sisters. I mean, those are all incredible, but, honestly, some of the informal mentoring has been the most beneficial for me. Hmm. I am out to coffee with someone that I am helping or someone that's helping me like every day. And, whether you actually call someone your formal mentor or not, I think the idea of, if you're in a position where you can help, offer it, offer it every day. When you see people who, look a little stressed, or a young woman who just, kind of has that sparkle in her eye, like be like, hey, I'd love to take you to coffee. Just period. What are you doing in school? What are you interested in? What are you scared of? And then if you're someone who wants help, ask for it. Because I think we're a little afraid to do this work. And there's an idea of like, I'm going to be a burden on someone, or I don't know. I mean, just ask for it. If you see someone that's badass, ask them for an hour of their time, because they want to help.
Yeah.
Most of them do. I think it would be rare to find someone who's like, I'm too busy
yeah.
to share my badassness with you.
Is that something you've come up with on your own? Or was it something where you had somebody who, it's so weird to say it like this, but you had a mentor
yeah.
who was like, mentors are important.
I don't know if I've necessarily, I guess I have had some. The domestic violence organization in Red Lodge has a fantastic executive director who was an amazing mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I've had just incredible women in my life. I was raised by a nanny who was the most incredible human in my world. Mm-hmm. And she was an amazing mentor to me. She actually, if we go back full circle to when you said, like, how did you know you like wanted to give back? I mean, I remember interviewing her in like fifth grade. It's like, interview someone you admire.
Yeah.
And she was like one of the first women that attended Wesleyan University, because her husband was there. and she protested a lot against wars, and was just so active in social justice. And she's older. She would have been in her 70s now. But she was just like a very passionate person about a lot of things. And, so she was totally a mentor in my life. They come in different forms. I mean, your mentor could be your mom. It could be your boss, I don't know. I mean, they look so different, but I just don't think people aren't really thinking outside the box. Like the high school gals I work with, you know, when someone asks them for a reference letter, they all think of me because the only other people that they have in their lives are their teachers and their parents, which is, I get that. That's about all you have time for as a teenager, but they need something else, I think. Just a little bit.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a lesson that that I didn't get until very late on in life, but it's a lesson that is proving to be incredibly valuable, useful.
Yeah.
And, ugh.
Yeah.
I don't know why that isn't such, or a bigger thing that we teach in school.
I don't know why either. It is so silly. If you think about mentorship, it is literally all about not recreating the wheel, right? Been there, done that, made lots of mistakes. And although I want you to learn those mistakes on your own and those lessons on your own by making your own mistakes, like, let me save you some time. I mean, it is just no brainer. Why don't we do that more? So yeah, it should be. And I think that like informal type of mentorship too, like we don't have to worry about putting it into a program. We just need to make sure people feel comfortable asking for help and that we're all really willing to give it.
Yeah.
Because you can learn something from anyone.
Yeah. Like you say too, it's not about the label either. Like you don't have to be like, I'm this person's mentor or that person's. No, like they're my friend, but at the same point, like I learn as much as I can about them in whatever regard they're succeeding at.
I have people I learn from that are younger than me all the time.
Oh yeah.
It's so not about, I'm going to put them on a pedestal. They're the leader in my field. It's like, no, everybody has something to teach. But if you can, you know, ask someone to, hey, I want some of your time because I want to learn from you. You do have to frame it in that way so that people know what this is expected of them. But, it should just happen so much more.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for pushing me forward and lifting me up and for doing that for this community.
Thank you.